It didn't work. Good. Before I start preaching here up a storm, I know you want to testify. Do you want to come quickly? Come share your testimony, brother, before we go.
Morning. I just need to give thanks to God for the gift of life, and I just need to thank you for giving me the opportunity, Pastor. Okay, my testimony is based with the one of Pastor's message when he preached about the burning mountain. I don't know how many of you can still remember that preaching, but actually, he was touching me because I was the burning mountain by that time. Because what happened in my life, I can say since lockdown level 5, it's like where I was working at Mega Ice Kamban, and I was getting what I worked for. But by that time, I wasn't go to work by that time because of lockdown. So what happened to me is that there was no salary by the end of month. And from that, after that, we opened the company, then we started working, and the company went on liquidation, which means there was no work totally. After that, my boss, he opened another company. It's like he was just trying. I was working 2 days per week with him. Then after he opened that company, it's like I was just working with him and his wife, but actually he was the main member who knows what to do on that company, and he passed away. So it's like I lost him like a month ago. So after I lost my boss, it's like I was just like, oh God, what am I gonna do now? So I came and I shared that with some other people here in the church. Then we prayed about it. After we prayed about it, it's like 2 days after, it's like Benny phoned me. Then he offered me a work, like, you can come, then we can work. But when I went to work with him, I was like on the standby with someone else, the owner of Body Fuel in Pinehurst. I don't know if you know Body Fuel Express in Pinehurst. Then he finally sent me the message like, could I decide to offer you a permanent job so you can come, then I work with you permanently. But I need to thank, since in level 5, there are some people who are helping me with even money issues. And till now, they are still offering me, helping me. So I need to thank God about that, because I wasn't know I gonna have some good Samaritans like that. So I just need to thank God about that. And another thing, I just need to thank Benjamin's family. I can't just thank like Cynthia, but I need to thank them all about the way they are offering me transport. It's such a blessing to me. You can see the way I'm coming to work. Sorry, now I'm thinking about work. You can see the way I'm coming to church, even though there is some, it's like some functions far away, I can still register because I trust that they are also going. Even if they are not going, they will make plan for me to go there. So I just need thanks to God for that. Thank you.
Yeah, this lockdown thing has got us all in a journey of life. And Kuda, we celebrate with you what God is doing in your life, and that you've got a permanent job. You know, I think anybody who has a work at the moment can go praise the Lord, because there's so many people that do not have employment. In the weeks before, I was just preparing, and I felt God just stirring this topic in my heart about redeeming the time. And I think we all know that, you know, times are at the moment quite interesting and so on, but I just want to take us on a bit of a journey this morning. I want to start off with Colossians 3, verse 23 to 24. And it reads this, it says, "Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men." So just want to pick up there. Whatever you do, do it for God, not for men. Knowing that from the Lord, we will receive an inheritance as your reward. So our inheritance comes from God. You are serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want us just to reflect on that and think about that this morning, that everything that we do, everything that we engage in this world is for the Lord Jesus Christ. That we are serving Jesus as those that were bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. That is who we are serving. And that result of that is that whatever we do for Him. The TPT version says it like this. It says, put your heart and soul into every activity you do, as though you are doing it for the Lord Himself, and do not merely, and not merely for others. Put your heart and soul in every activity you do, as though you're doing it for the Lord. You know, when I read that, sort of had to reflect on my own life, and in how am I doing with regards to it? Am I doing every activity that I'm doing? Am I doing it as unto the Lord? Am I doing it for Jesus? And I'll be honest, I had to acknowledge that I got distracted. And other things, you know, sort of, I don't know, call them important or whatever, passionate stuff. Suddenly I found myself looking at stuff that I'm doing just because. It's part of life and things need to happen. And I had to reevaluate, okay, but where am I at with this whole thing? Because redeeming the time, if we want to redeem the time, we need to be deliberate. We need to know where we are going. Now, redeem, according to the Barnes version in the app that I'm using, says this, redeem means to rescue or recover our time from waste. So if we're going to redeem our time, we need to rescue it. You know, if someone falls overboard in mid-sea somewhere and the boat's going, we don't go, oh, swim, Yanni, swim. Land is that way, hoy. You know, if you rescue someone, there's some critical stuff that needs to happen. There's some serious plans that need to be made. I mean, I can see the guy in that boat pulling up the handbrake, you know, going a handbrake turn and going back to fetch this poor guy. Okay, no, boats don't do that. Clearly, I'm a car guy, but so, but the boat will stop and we'll rescue the guy and we'll throw that buoy thing or someone will jump in the water. There will be some desperate stuff. And in the same way, we need to rescue and recover our time from waste. Why? Because we've only got so much. We live like it's not going to end. But we know it's a... And yes, the catchy thing about this time thing is, we don't know when it ends. None of us here, sitting here this morning, can go, I'm going to live till I'm 450 years old and then I'll die. It might be tomorrow. And I think that that's probably one thing that, you know, with COVID and especially the last couple of waves where things came closer to home, we suddenly realized that life is short. Therefore, I believe even as we journey this out that we need to be intentional with the time that God has given us. The second thing is to improve it for great and important purposes. To improve it for great and important purposes. So if we need to redeem the time, we need to improve it for great and important purposes. So what is the great and important purposes? What do we need to prepare our time for? What do we need to save it from, rescue it from, and then apply it to? Otherwise, listen, all of us here will probably say, but you know, sometimes we're kind of just going through the motions. We're living and we're doing this. And the intentionality is maybe lost in the mix. So this morning, I'm going to kick off a series, a three-part series. The first one this morning. And we're going to look at seven ways biblically to redeem your time. And I'm trusting God that this will not just help us to get back to God in certain ways, but it will really move us to a place where we evaluate what we are doing and we're intentional with what we're doing, not just for our own sake, but for the kingdom's sake. What does God want to do with our time at this time? How do we redeem the time where we are now? How can we move and work more effectively? How can we use our time more effectively for God? What does He want to do with this? Ephesians 5, verse 5 to 17 says this, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So the instruction here starts off and he says, be careful. Where is that in? See that you were... Okay, the other translation say, be careful how you walk. There's a caution. There's a, excuse me, be careful how... That's what then walk circumspectly means, that you need to walk carefully in this earth. Not just like things are, there's no, nothing going wrong. Walk carefully. Be careful on how you walk in this life. In other words, to proceed with caution, not presumption. And with wisdom and not foolishness. And that's what he says here. Don't walk like the foolish, but be wise. So if we are wise, we need to look at the time and the stuff that God has given us and say, okay, Father, what do you want to do with us that you have given us? Sometimes we run, we walk in this life like tomorrow is an absolute guarantee. Like it's coming. You know, we plan like it's never going to end. And, you know, there's a good thing in there. That we need to plan like Jesus is never coming, but we need to live like he's coming today. Right? Because the reality, if he pitches tomorrow, all your planning is down the tubes. Okay? So plan, have a plan for your life. Trust God to lead you in everything, but live like he's coming tomorrow. Live like he's returning this afternoon. Many times we struggle because we simply don't wait on the Lord. It's interesting that in our lives, I think, and I'm guilty of this, where you're praying about something, you say, Lord, I need help. Okay, thank you, Father, I got this. And then I get going. You know, and because I found one thing in terms of waiting upon the Lord, it takes time. You go, Father, what is the answer to the question? We make plans. We seek it elsewhere. But waiting on the Lord. You know what the toughest thing about waiting on the Lord is? Is your flesh doesn't like it. Because you're sitting there while you're waiting on the Lord. And you're thinking, oh, I must phone that guy. And I must send that email. And it was just me. Okay, good. I'm a good company. All right. But then we wonder why we get tired. It's because we don't wait upon the Lord, and that is a skill. And I wanna challenge you in that sense, and like I'm challenged to go, okay, but Father, when I'm waiting, I'm waiting. I'm not gonna do anything until I've heard you speak clearly. The reason, according to the scripture, that we need to walk circumspectly, that we need to be careful, is because the days are evil. That is why we need to be careful on how we walk. We cannot just take it that everything is God's will and just go for it. We need to walk carefully before the Lord. Then, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And I think for us, that is the key here this morning, is can we understand what the will of the Father is for this time which we are finding ourselves in at the moment? How do we redeem the time in line with what he wants to do in the earth today? Now, the Amplified Version says, Ephesians 5, the following way. It says, therefore, and it's not, is it on slide? I put it on there. Okay, great. Therefore, see that you walk carefully, living life with honor, purpose, and courage, shunning those who tolerate and enable evil. Now, there's a mouthful. Okay, I'm going to read it. Living life with honor, purpose, and courage. That is good, but then deliberately shunning those who tolerate and enable evil. Not as unwise, but as wise, sensible, intelligent, discerning people. And man, that's why we need the Holy Spirit. That is right there why we need the Holy Spirit, because we are not clever enough. I figured that one out. I cannot always discern what is going on in this earth. I need the Holy Spirit to teach and instruct me in the way that I need to go, in the decisions that I need to make, where I need to be bold and say no, where I need to go, okay, this is the way that the Lord is leading me. Making the very most of your time on earth, recognizing and taking advantage of each opportunity and using it with wisdom and diligence. Oh, there's a lot of purpose, a lot of deliberateness just in that description there. Because the days are filled with evil. Therefore, do not be foolish and thoughtless. Don't just grow through life. It's not what we're supposed to do. Okay? But understand and firmly grasp what the will of the Lord is. Saints, I believe if we know what God's will is at this time for the world and for our lives, we will have so much purpose at this moment. We will not be running around grabbing at straws. But how many of you have prayed and understand what God's will is for your life in a certain thing, and then you moved in it, and suddenly things look different? Because He is ordaining it, He is moving it. You know, I've done stuff where I thought it was God, but it was a pizza or something that I had last night. And then I go for it, and then I hit the wall at speed, and I go, "What's wrong, Lord?" And He says, "But you listened to the pizza." You know, or your friends or somebody, you know, the counsel that you choose to have, but you didn't understand what I want to do at this time. And I believe for us to fully move forward with courage and love and purpose at this time, we will understand, we will know what to do when we understand what God's will is. You know, if we understand that He loves the world, if we understand that He wants to save them, then there's different purpose that comes into everything that we do. So how do we redeem the time, Kobus? I think firstly we need to start off by looking at Jesus. You know, if we can look at get a lot of sources and Google stuff and go, how do you redeem your time? You know, if you type that search in, move to the Bahamas. Yes. Be lazy. How do we redeem our time? I think we need to look at Jesus. Because if we look at Him at Scripture, if you read the Bible, I don't see Jesus ever looking hurried or stressed. I never see Him, you know, like He's struggling to manage His time and stuff. He's, you know, I don't see chaos in His walk. How did He manage to do this in a place? Because, you know, there's times when the people pressed into Him, demanded stuff from Him, wanted stuff from Him, and it's like He's just calm. He's got this. Who of you are stressed? Okay, don't put up your hands. And I believe Jesus sets the perfect example for us to follow in terms of how to redeem the time, how to purposely walk in this world in such a way that we can accomplish everything that our Father wants us to do. Because how many times did Jesus say, "I'm busy with the things that my Father is wanting me to be busy with"? In Luke 8, you read the story, and this is not up there, but in Luke 8, you read the story where the disciples are in the boat, and the storm breaks out, remember? And what does Jesus do? He sleeps. I want to have a conversation with Him one day, because I can't take a canoe over a lagoon, let alone sleep in the middle of a storm. So that's my question to Him. Okay, Father, Jesus, how did you do this, in sleeping on this boat in the middle of a storm? But here's the thing. The disciples tried everything, right? Throwing stuff overboard. I don't know what else they did. And eventually they wake Him up. They go, "Jesus, we are about to sink. The water is in the boat." And then if you read that scripture, He wakes up and He goes like, "What's fout met julle? Why are you worrying?" But this water should be outside the boat, Jesus, not in the boat. What is happening here? We're going to sink. And He's like, "What's your problem? I don't see the problem, guys." And then He gets up and He goes, "Excuse me, storm, shush." Oh, that must have been incredible. You know, and I believe in the storms of life that we are facing at the moment, the answer is in our boat. The answer is Jesus. We can, for everything that we are pursuing in this life, everything that is going on, it is Jesus. It is the answer to the question is nowhere else. When He gets up and He speaks to your storm, your conditions, and He says, silence, it has to obey. The actual fact is, I believe if that storm even continued, they would have still got to the other side. Why? Because Jesus was there. They would not have sunk. And He went, hey, boys, where's your faith? Go read it. He says, where's your faith? What has happened to your faith? I'm with you. Why are you stressing, panicking, etc., etc.? But the water, Lord. This is a real situation. And He goes, what's the problem? And I think when we get the perspective, the Jesus' perspective of our situations, things will change. Man, the waves can go, the water can come, the wind can blow, and you will be asleep in the boat. Why? Right next to Him, because He's there sleeping. See, the answer in every storm is Jesus. Whether it's a deadline, whether it's to-do list, whether it's your family, whether it's your finances, I believe the answer is Jesus. You see, the answer is not in some time management plan, some five-step quick fix solution, or anything else. The answer is Jesus. We need to get to a place where we aren't in work-based productivity, but grace-based productivity. Where we understand it's not the arm of my flesh that will make me successful, accomplish, but it's God's grace and His anointing on my life. It's His wisdom in every situation. And though I do the works, I do not do them from a place of fear. I actually do them from a place of worship. And there's a huge difference. There's a huge difference to getting to through my day based on my own efforts and my power and my abilities, and where I do my work every day as worship unto the Lord, and I'm rooted in the grace and the love of Jesus Christ every day. I've been, when I still had my business, so many situations where I did not know the answer to the problem, where I was sitting there 2-3 hours trying to figure out stuff, and then I pray. And then half an hour later, I walk out there and I go, Kobus, why did you not pray 3 hours ago? What is wrong with you, champ? But you see, I walk in with my abilities, my training. I know what to do. So I just do it. It is so easy. But as we look to Jesus, we get to that place where we are in grace-filled productivity. We work from the place of worship. It looks differently. See, we do not do time management exercises from a place of worship. We do management exercises from a place of worship and no other way, place. If you're going to manage your time, give your time to Jesus. Let Him manage it. I've said this before. The biggest prayer you can pray in the morning is, Lord, order my day. And don't be surprised then if He orders it. Okay? Don't go, excuse me, Lord, but that's the priority. I need to do it today. If that's not the thing for today, just let it go. You know, so many times when I had mull days and I would pray that prayer, then a client will phone me and say, listen, Kobus, can you not come today? Now, for any business person, that is your worst nightmare. You actually want to get it. You need the money. Then I go, and so vrinti var. Now, suddenly I've got the afternoon open, but then a guy phones me and he needs his geezer replaced. And I can go, and I make much more money on that geezer replacement than I did with. Or I meet someone that I start a journey with, and I can walk with a new client or something. I tell you, when God orders your day, things look beautiful. You might not understand them always, because your flesh goes, excuse me, we should do this now. Your diary says, your reminder goes, beep, 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 you need to do this. You got to excuse me, you are submitted to Jesus Christ. But if we look at Jesus and we see that How did he get this right to be so calm and peaceful and organized in everything that we do? Then we see one thing. He had this incredible relationship with his father. Let's probably go look at it. Okay? So we need to start with the word. And when I say to you, let's start with the word, you all immediately probably think, I need to read the Bible more. Right? Morning, noon, and night. 15 chapters a day so I can get through the Bible in 1 year. Okay, that is a good plan. It's not a bad plan. But it's actually more than that. And John 1 verse 14 says this, and the Word became flesh and dwelled among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. You know, when we get to the Word, we get to the living Word, Jesus Christ. It's when I read the Bible and Jesus speaks to me, and when the Holy Spirit makes it alive, that's when my day changes. That's when my time changes. That's when everything gets recalibrated, because I am with the living Word. I'm with my Father. Hebrews 12 verse 2 says this, looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So the one that I'm looking to is not only at the right hand of the Father, the place of all authority, but is actually the one who's the author and the finisher of everything Corbus Meir is going to do on this earth. It's when I submit to Him daily, when I walk with Him, when I become hungry like Jesus did for His Father, that I can redeem the time successfully. You see, Jesus knew where His help came from. He knew. So He made time with His Father. In fact, He prioritized it. That was very important to Him. You see, it wasn't, you know, if it happens. It was a priority. Now, I can tell you this much. Knowing a bit for business or the corporate world that I do, if anything is priority, it means it has to happen, right? If your boss says to you, this is priority over everything else, then you go like, Wednesday is a good day, I'll get to it then, right? If you want to get fired, that's what you do, correct? So when it's priority, it means like, okay, it's happening. Whether the sun is shining or not, you're getting to this. And I think this is how Jesus were. He had His Father's relationship as priority. Mark 1 verse 35 says this, and rise up quite early in the night, he went, and rising up quite early in the night, he went out and went away into a deserted place, and he was praying there. Most of us, when Jesus wakes us up, we go like, it's donker, sun is not shining. Lord, wait, 6 o'clock is coming, the alarm has been set. But here we see Jesus doing it completely different. And you know, the way that we see is prioritized, it was in Luke 6, verse 12. And it says, and it happened in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray, and he was spending the night in prayer to God. He was praying the whole night. Why? Because he knew through his Father, his relationship with his Father, he can redeem the time. That is why when he gets to that one place where he's driving out the demons, and afterwards he says to his disciples, these ones only go from a place of prayer and fasting. So in other words, he was doing that already. And when he encountered that situation, he was in that place of authority. But you see, we've got reactive faith. We get to the demon and then we go like, oh, Karabashandai, here I help. What do we do now? But it's the secret is in the secret place of our Father. It's in relationship with Him that when we encounter, you know, even if if your boss is the demon that you're encountering on Tuesday, you will have the grace and the anointing to deal with that. But it is in that place of prioritizing our relationship with the Word, with the living Word. So like Jesus, we need to start with the living Word. To redeem the time, we need to know the author of time. See, if I do not connect with the author of time, the one who's actually outside of time, the one who can do with time what he wants, I will never be able to redeem it. But it's when I'm connected with him, when I'm walking with him, then I can redeem the time. We need to know what his purpose is for the world and for us individually. What he's calling us to do at this time. And we will only know it when we are spending time with the Father. So that's the first way in which we can redeem the time. The second way is in Mark 5 verse 37. It says, let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. That's a strong statement. Let what you say simply be yes or no. I don't say your but, or you know, maybe. I'll get back to you. This is a very basic truth, in that what we say as saints, as children of God, when you say yes, mean it and do it. The thing is, we actually stop trusting people because of that, don't we? When you ask them something and they say, yeah, I'm sure I'll do it. And then you remind them, yeah, sure, man, I'll do it. No worries, eh? Okay, and then, yeah, sure. And this is a challenge for all of us, because sometimes we just go like, yeah, I'm with you. But Scripture here says the way in which we redeem the time is that we make sure that our yes is yes and our no is no. We mean what we're saying. Why does it happen that we say so easily yes, but we don't do it? Have you ever heard an ad jingle? If I say sing an ad jingle, you all probably can sing something right now. Nah? Because why? A thing sticks in your brain. Nah? I can remember jingles from when I was... And my sons go, what's a licky is that? But scientists have explored this, and the reason why we remember tunes like that is not because they're just catchy, but when they are irritating, we are actually quick to put them off halfway. And what they say is, when you turn off a song halfway, you can do it with any song. I've been trying to check this now, but if you stop a song halfway, inevitably it pops up in your brain. And you start singing it. Because the moment you stop it halfway, your brain goes, not finished task. We need to finish task. Finish task. Finish task. Now, and you have this flashing light. Now, the same thing happens is if you say yes and you don't do it. Your brain goes, there's a yes. We need to do this. And you don't do it. And it goes, you need to do this. You need to do this. Many of us wake up in the night with this flood of thoughts, planning and stuff, because there's stuff that you've said yes to, but you haven't done. And the devil uses that opportunity to get on your case like never before, get you sleepless and tired. And when we're tired, we say yes to more stuff, and we don't do them. And it becomes this huge, vicious cycle in saying yes, but not doing anything. And the reality, it's become a habit in our lives to say yes and not do anything. And I grew up with my dad saying to me not once, a billion times, a month's of word. And I tell you one thing, if you just take your own yes and put it on the scale, is your yes a yes, or is your yes actually a no? It becomes quite scary. So you can do this. You can start reading a book and stop it halfway. I'm actually very good with that. I go, useless information, please delete. No, I'm joking. The reality is, when we have a lot of these yeses and not following through, that we become overwhelmed and tired. and we battle to cope with life. And it actually hinders us from saying yes in the future because we've become reluctant in actually saying yes. So we see it, for instance, even when we, like the men's camp, we say register for a men's camp and everybody goes, I'll wait till the day before or the day after the due date and then I'll register. We've become scared to say yes. In any case. Right, so to solve this problem, to let your yes be yes, you need to take a moment and write down the stuff that you've said yes to. Get it on a piece of paper, put it in some app that works for you, but get your to-do list down. Not up here, because when it's up here, the brain goes, it's not finished, not finished. Write it down, get it down on a piece of paper. Go through your emails. Those of you that got 500 emails not answered, all right, start. Merke gereed begin. Work through your emails. Get down what you need to do. All right. Choose the reliable place, not some piece of paper that you're going to go, it's useless information. I'm not going to do this. Okay? But get it down. And then take a moment and do everything that will take you between 2 to 5 minutes to do. Tick off some stuff. You know, it's amazing when you tick off some stuff, you actually get energized. It helps you to move forward. But when there's all this to do, it is overwhelming and it breaks us down. Okay? So get some stuff ticked yes, so that your brain can go, thank goodness you did this. You will be less stressed. You'll sleep better. You'll exercise more because you said yes. See, I'm so not saying yes to that one. It sounds like work. So in order for us to redeem the time, I think we need to heed that scripture more than ever before. At the moment, is what do we do with our time? What allowing God to do with our time? Are we surrendering our lives before Him at this time and say, God, this is what I have left? And you know, the reality is, whether you are currently, okay, not, you may 16 or 18, yeah, or whether you are 15 on, yeah, doesn't matter, 70 or what, you know. You can be 97 and you have time. If there's breath in those lungs, it is, Lord, here is my life and as an offering. Use it as you please. And I believe as we surrender our lives to God, we will see Him use our time in ways that we cannot imagine as we surrender to Him. So number one, start with the Word, the living Word. Start with Jesus. Do not neglect the one who saved you, who knows everything, who created you for the purposes which He has done. Okay? Allow Him to take you further. And then secondly, let your yes be yes and your no be no. We should be able to trust one another at least here, that if I say yes, I can bank on you. Which I believe it's true for us. But can we grow even in greater measure? So when you say yes, do it. Lord, it's amazing with us. Freaks me out how amazing she is with us, because she will say yes. And then I go, then I'll be there. Maybe she says something, yes, to the school or something. And then I'm thinking, okay, yeah, you know, more, we can do it somewhere. Near the frowny. She gets it going right there. I said, but you've got time. She gets the yes ticked very quickly. So she's very effective. I'm not as good. I've got a yes with delay. I will get you ASAP. Please hold. Please hold. So I'm working on this. All right? I'm a work in progress to get to going, yes. That's why the Lord gave me a wife, to sort me out. All right? So she's helped me a lot in this regard. So, and when you say no, let your no glorify God. Don't say no because you are nasty. All right? When you say no, do it in such a way that is honoring to the Lord. Okay? And walk by the Spirit and let Him refresh you daily so that you can see the plans of God happening in your life. Philippians 4 verse 6, and I want to end with a scripture. Do not be anxious about some things. Oh, everything. Why is it anything and everything? And everything and anything is groot woorde. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ. If you are anxious this morning, if you are stressed out, freaked out, everything, take it to Jesus in prayer. Take everything to Him in prayer. Allow Him to hear you, to heal you, to instruct you. You should be well practiced in hearing the voice of the Lord with regards to where you're going. I should have that. We should all be walking in that.